All right. Our wonderful hymns. Want to thank the Lord for this retreat which He has prepared for us. We know that He is wonderful and He alone will work wonders. So we want to thank Him for this time and we look forward to the wonderful things that He will do in our midst. Now, we have our brother John who shared earlier and I'm sharing now, so you have two J's. And then the last three messages, you have three Y's. Our brother A. Yi, our brother Sam Yun, and our brother Derek Yun. So you have the three Y's followed by the two J's. So, and all of you, the others, are in between. You get it? Oh. All right, that's the... You begin with J, you end with Y, and O, the others in between. What do you get?
Joy.
All right, okay. I'm just seeing if you're awake. And of course, three Y's, two J's, and the most important, the third J, our Lord Jesus in our midst. Because He promised when two or three are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. So we praise and thank Him for that, and we know that we can be joyful in His presence. And may He also find joy as we gather in His name. Our brother shared with us earlier about the theme, in the world and not of the world. So we get our passages from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13 to 17. I hope you all have read it more than once, at least twice, hopefully three times or more. I did see some heads nod earlier when I said once, but I didn't see so much after that. But when we spend time in His Word and draw near to Him, He will draw near to us and He will bless us with His own Word, with Himself. Now, earlier Peter may have told some of you, I like for your participation because, as our brother earlier mentioned, we're all together in the school of Jesus, so we all at His feet, learning together, encouraging one another, and your participation will always encourage me. And perhaps Peter did tell some of you that I will call on you, and I will start from the back. So if you're sitting in the back, next time you'll be sitting in the front, right? So your participation will encourage me. And so let's get to our passage here, in the world and not of the world. John chapter 17, our brother already shared earlier with us the background. That's all that you have read. And so if you know John chapter 13, verse 1, if we turn to it really quickly, I hope you all have your Bibles with you and you all have it open so you can readily turn to it. Now, I always find when you read the Word of God for yourself, it is more impressive. You hear someone speak, the Lord can do His work, and He does. But when you read it for yourself, then it will be more deeply impressed upon you because you have read His own Word and He will bless His own Word. So John chapter 13, verse 1 tells us, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them until the end. So we know this is the Passover, and we know, as our brother shared with us, this is the last 24 hours of our Lord's life, and this was what was heavy in His heart, these five chapters that He's speaking to His own. And those of His own, He loved them, and He loved them to the end. His end and their end, and at the end of it, our Lord says, if you recall, He says, lo, I will be with you always. So our Lord loves those of His own, and He loves them to the very end. He is with us always. Now, if we read through all these chapters of John 13 to 17, you can see many times throughout these five chapters, the word world appears. So if next time you go home, you read it again, and you see, wow, the word world appears many times in these five chapters. And in fact, not only in these five chapters, but throughout the Gospel according to John. For example, everybody should know this. Recite it with me. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16, the world. And we can see, even John chapter, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, when we say in the world, not of the world, we have to really have an understanding of what the world is. So, the first thing about the world is that God so loved the world, he loves us. And the world here speaks about the people, the men, and all of us. He gave himself for us. So God so loved the world. So this speaks about the people of the world. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, now I ask you to turn to it and read it. So someone who is brave can volunteer before I call on names. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This will tell us about the world, because we are in the world, even though we are not of the world. If you have found it, please stand up and read loudly for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15.
First John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right, thank you, Peter. Thank you, sister. You'll be next, all right? So, this tells us the world, then this definition or understanding of the world in 1 John chapter 2:15 is a different understanding. It's not God so loved the world, the people of this world, us, sinners, but it's talking about the way of this world, the system of this world. And it also gives us a contrast of the world. Actually, you just read verse 15, but if we continue to read on, perhaps, I forgot your name, sister?
Joyce,
okay, yes, thank you. If you can read 16 for us.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world.
That's right. Jesse, Joyce, and Toby, I remember. Okay. So, the way of the world, the system of the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the prideful lust of life, these things will pass away. So, it's in contrary to God who abideth forever. So here we have two understandings about the world. The people of the world whom God loves, and the way of the world, the system of the world, the lust of the world, the flesh of the world, it perishes. And that is something that is quite opposite of God. So we have to understand in the world and not of the world what the world is speaking about. Now, our brother also mentioned to us, John chapter 13, to 17. These are very important, heavy words. The burden in our Lord's heart before he was to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was going to go on the cross. These are the words he said in chapter 17, John. What is that? What is those words in John chapter 17? Our brother shared with us. What are those words of our Lord? Okay, Eric Lee in the back. What are those words of John chapter 17? Just one word. What is he doing? What is John chapter 17?
Jesus prayed for all believers.
Yes. Thank you. That's right. John chapter 17 is the Lord's prayer. So this is very important. So he speaks to his disciples. And at the end of chapter 14, he says, "Arise, let us go." And we're familiar with John chapter 15, they're probably walking past the temple, and he says, "I am the true vine, and ye are the branches." And then, chapter 17, he prays for his disciples. Chapter 18, verse 1, then they cross the Brook Kidron, and that's when they get into the Garden of Gethsemane. So these are very important last words of our Lord Jesus. And he tells us we're in the world and not of the world. And this is his prayer here in chapter 17. And our brother already mentioned to us, the time that we'll spend in here is I will be sharing about life, to know the Lord, know Him, and know life. And to know Him, the Father, and whom He has sent, which is our Lord. And our brothers will share on this joy, the joy made full, the truth, sanctified in truth, and also our perfecting, being perfected in unity. So, the first thing is John chapter 17. John chapter 17, if you will read that for me. John chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Verse 3. Will someone read verse 3 for me? John chapter 17, verse 3. All right, thank you, Eric. Would you stand up and read loud John chapter 17, verse 3?
Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
That's right. Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So that is what we need to know, the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ. Do we know what the name Jesus means?
He saves.
That's right. Thank you. I think that was grace, right? All right. He saves. He will save his people from their sin. You remember in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God who will save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus." And the Christ? Jesus Christ. What does Christ mean? Hanyi. All right. So we'll know after this. Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You remember those words from Peter. And so Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Christ also, when we say, know Jesus Christ, we come to know him as the Christ. And the Christ means not only Jesus Christ the head, but also the Christ means that it is Christ and his church. So the Christ means Christ, the head, and the church, his body. So we have to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 17, verse 23, will someone read that for me? John chapter 17, verse 23. Oh, Jesse, thank you. If you stand up and read loud, John chapter 17, verse 23.
I in them and you in me, may they be brought in complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
That's right. So when we come to know Jesus Christ, we not only come to know him as our Savior, as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God, but we come to know him as the Christ. Christ the head, and Christ and the church, his body, that we all are united. And he is not only after each one of us individually, but corporately as his body. So this is to know Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, to know him, and also to know those of his and his church and his body. Now I just want to share a word here. I know this morning our brother John asked, who are we? Are we a child of God? And we all stood up and praised the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. But if you remember the slides he showed, there are pressures in life. Now, I believe that we are, I pray that we are all saved and we know him as Jesus, our Savior. But if there are any one of us in our midst that has yet to know him as our personal Lord and Savior, you pray to the Lord tonight, you seek out your older brothers and sisters, and you ask them to pray with you, to share with you, that you may know him, first of all, as Jesus, your Savior. And then, in life, that life will grow. You recall in the Gospel according to John how many times he said about life. Even at the beginning, he said, in him there is the life full of grace and truth. And this life, not only he loved us, that he give us eternal life, but in John chapter 10, he says, this is life and life abundant, right? And he also tells us, I am the bread of life. And he continues to say, I am the resurrection and the life. And he continues to say in John chapter 14, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So this book is full of life. So we have to come to know him first as Jesus, our Savior, to receive life. And then, by his grace, we'll continue to grow in that life, and that will increase, and it will be life abundant. So again, if there are any in our midst that have yet to know him as our Savior, you pray to the Lord to accept him into your heart, Romans 10:9. You confess your sins. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. You must be saved. And you seek out an older brother and sister and you share with them, and I'm sure they will pray together with you. So that is the first importance, to know him and to know life. Now, if we continue on, then, as our brother mentioned, life. Now, a newborn babe, when you're born, you know how to breathe already. So you don't know what needs to teach you about life. You know how to breathe and have life because it's very natural. It's innate in us. But concerning life, there are things that you need to, other things that you need to do pertaining to life that you can sustain your life and you can grow in your life. You have to eat. All of us have to eat. I hope you enjoyed the meal earlier. And then many of you went on the ropes course. So you have to exercise. Some of you were in the field. So those things, you might need to have some practice. You know, when you're young, you eat baby food, you nurse, and then you have baby food, and then you have solid food. You have to eat. And so that sustains your life. But if you just eat, it's all in, and no exercise, and no out, that's not healthy. So you have to also exercise. So eating helps us to sustain our life, but exercise also helps us to grow our life. So now, how do we know him? We know him through his word. And that's what he leaves us here, the Bible, but also specifically John chapter 13 to 17, and even more specifically John chapter 17 about life, right? So when we speak about knowing him as our Savior, or knowing him in our life to grow from our head knowledge to our heart, how far is this? 1 foot? Maybe 18 inches, right? Not too far. But if we only know him in our head and not know him in our heart, and not we know him about Jesus, but we don't accept him to be our Savior, we don't accept him to be our Lord in our heart, that doesn't do us any good. And in fact, it's between heaven and hell. If we only know him as Jesus, a great man, a teacher, but we don't accept him to be our Savior and our Lord in our heart, we're not saved. So the distance between our head and our heart is extremely short, but that distance is between heaven and hell. But likewise, for us, who are saved, who have life. If we merely know in our head knowledge, oh, we know all the stories because we go to Sunday worship and the teachers taught us when we were babes, and we know all the stories and we know all the answers, we have all this knowledge, but it's not lived out, it's not exercised, that also is not healthy for us. That doesn't help our life, our spiritual life, to grow. And so, not only to know his word, but to really, to exercise, to live it out, so that it can be healthy for us and to help us to grow. So the word of God, we have to eat. We know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have life, but now we need to eat to sustain our life, and we need to exercise, to live out the word of God, to grow our life, and that is by the word of God. And not only do we know the word of God, but we have to learn to listen, to obey, so that he can increase and we may decrease. John chapter 3, verse 30. I'm keeping a lot of my sharing to the gospel according to John. Right? So if we want his life to grow and increase, we have to know his word, to eat it, to listen to his word, to obey, to exercise, to live out, then that life will increase. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. All right, Anthony, will you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and read that for us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19.
Do not quench the Spirit.
Do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Hey Lydia, can you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Thank you. So we read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is going to remind us about the Word of God. And here, we should not quench the Holy Spirit, and we shall not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do so, who gets hurt? Perhaps us. Our parents tell us something. We didn't listen. We didn't know better because we're young. We might suffer some consequences. But we also know when we quench the Holy Spirit and when we grieve the Holy Spirit, not only we might suffer for it, we might get hurt by it, and there are some consequences, but it is God Himself who will suffer and who will be hurt. You know, when we do not obey our parents, we may suffer, but they also suffer with us, and perhaps their hearts ache even more than us when they see their dearly loved children suffering because they did not obey. So do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we may suffer a little, but our Heavenly Father suffers much more. Of course, this is perhaps very negative, that we quench and grieve and we suffer, and He suffers with us. But also, when we do listen to the Holy Spirit, when we obey the Holy Spirit, who rejoices? Who enjoys that? God. We do as well. Yes, God definitely enjoys it. Our parents love it when they see us do good and do well. Not necessarily that they have to tell us, but we know what we ought to do. And they see us do good and do well. They rejoice and they're glad. And of course, we enjoy it as well. And we also partake in that joy. So this is the Word of God that we come to know Him through His Word. Now, what does the psalmist tell us in Psalm 1? You know the psalm, right? Psalm 1, I will be like a tree planted by streams of water. Meditate upon His word day and night, right? Psalm 1, day and night. Now, all of you are students. Some of you are in high school and some of you are graduating and some of you are in college, so I'm going to do a math problem now. How many minutes do we have in a day? Feel free to shout this out. I hope I don't have to call on anybody. How many minutes do we have in a day? And how many minutes do we have in an hour?
60.
60, okay. How many hours do we have in a day?
24.
So how many minutes do we have a day? 24 times 60, how much is that?
1,440.
1,440, okay, all right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So what is 10% of that?
1,144.
144, wow, okay, all right. So how about 1% of that?
14.4,
right? 14.4. So it's less than 15 minutes. 15 minutes. This is my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters. It's very little to ask. If we give in the morning 15 minutes to the Lord, it's only 1% of our day. 1%. The Lord loved us and gave Himself to us. He gave His all for us. If we're willing to give Him 1% of our day in the morning, it's only 15 minutes. And if we do so because we delight in His Word, we delight in the law of the Lord and we meditate day and night, we give Him another 15 minutes at night. That's another 1%. We have only given 2% of our day to the Lord. Not much, right? Sometimes when we try to get up in the morning, we push the snooze button, huh? Yeah, we probably stay in bed more than 15 minutes longer. At night, when you hop in bed, who falls asleep right away? No, none of us. Okay, I see some hands in the back. Who might be on their phone a little longer at night in your bed before you sleep? Yeah, I mean, we were playing that game, right? You would be all running around, right? I've never, ever been on my phone for 15 minutes before I go to bed, right? Right? So we'll be all running around. But if we want to love our Lord and spend time in His Word, if we just give 1% of our day to Him in the morning, 15 minutes, another 15 minutes at night, meditating upon His Word when we get up and before we go to bed, That's half an hour. I think we can spend, it will do wonders for us when we spend time in His Word. In the morning, to align ourselves, align our day with the Lord, to spend that 15 minutes in prayer in His Word, so that He can speak with us, that He can strengthen us, that He can equip us. Align our days, our heart, before the Lord for the day. And at night, another 15 minutes to thank Him for the day. Thank Him for the grace. Thank Him for bringing us through. Thank Him for experiencing Him through the day. In the words that He spoke to us in the morning. For answering our prayer in the morning. Another 15 minutes before we head to bed. If we do that, then the Lord will draw near to us. And it will really strengthen us for the day. It will renew us for the evening. And if we spend time in His Word in 30 minutes, I think we can read 4 chapters a day, I think. That will read through His Word in 1 year, if we read 4 chapters a day. So, brothers and sisters, you ask yourself, am I able to give Him 1% of my morning, 1% of my night, and spend time with Him in His Word? Now, our brother shared earlier in his slide, I don't have any slides, I just borrowed his, is a tug of war, a tug of war. It's difficult, brothers and sisters. It's hard even for the adults to get up in the morning. And we want to go to bed. We're tired from the day's work. But, you know, we have things that we need to tend to. But it's a decision we have to make. Am I willing? Do I want to get up earlier or spend that time with the Lord in the morning and in the evening? It's a tug of war, not easy. You know that song? Every act, every choice is an act of war. Yeah, what song is that, Josiah?
Prize worth fighting for.
That's right. Every choice is an act of war. It's a choice, brothers and sisters, not an easy one. You have to make that choice. You have to decide, I will get up early for you, Lord. Spend 15 minutes with you. I will put away my phone for 15 minutes before I go to bed and spend that time with you. Every choice is an act of war. But it's a prize that is worth fighting for. We don't need to fight for anything. We get up, we will push the snooze button. We do whatever we want. We go to bed, we grab our phone, get online, and then we put our phones down, go to bed. There's no fight. We do that naturally. But every choice is an act of war because it's a prize that's worth fighting for. We have to make a deliberate, intentional, purposeful choice. And that is a choice that we make. Are you willing to give that 1% in the morning to the Lord and 1% in the evening to the Lord? Now, when we have the Word of the Lord, He speaks us in the Spirit. Of course, we mentioned about life, to know Christ, to know Jesus, and know life. Life is through His Word, and life is also with His Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit reminds us of His Word. And so, in this world, we touch the world, we hear the world, we see the world, we handle the world. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, it tells us how the disciples also hear Him, and see Him, and touch Him, and handle Him. So then the question is, brothers and sisters, what is the sense? What sense do we use with the Lord and with the world? In this world, in order to communicate with this world, is through our physical senses. We see with the eyes, we hear with our ears, we touch and handle and feel with our hands, with our emotions. That's our communication with the world. But in the Spirit, we need to also do the same thing. With our ears, we have to hear the Lord. With our eyes, we have to see the Lord. And with our hands, we have to handle Him. We have to touch Him. If we're trying to use our own physical eyes to see the Lord, we'll get disappointed. Because we look at the things around us, and we say, oh, I have to put my mask on. Oh, the pandemic, and the war, and school, and work, and family, and my brothers and sisters, all these around us. If we look at it, we see with our physical eyes, and we hear with our physical ears, the gossip, or the words, the unkind words, we'll be disappointed. And those things are of the world. But if we learn to use our spirit to see the Lord, to see our brothers and sisters with His eyes, and hear them in their encouragement, and say kind words with our ears, with our mouth, we use that spirit. Then we touch God and we touch His kingdom. You know, early on the rope course, it was very encouraging with Robbie, right? I think you all had a good time, the group saying and be on the rope adventure, right? Yeah. I see you guys nodding. This wonderful time. And he said, there's only two rules for the rope adventure. One, nobody's going to make you do anything you don't want to do. It's your choice. And two, say kind words, right? Encourage each other. No sarcasm and no unkind words, because, you know, some of us are afraid of heights and it's 60 foot high and you want to encourage one another, right? So really, is what do we use, what sense do we use to contact with the world and to contact with the Lord? So may the Lord remind us that we are those who are born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. And He will teach us, and He will remind us. And if we try to see the Lord, or fellowship with brothers and sisters with our own fleshly eyes and ears and hands, and those things will come out wrong. But if we obey the Holy Spirit, we can see God and we can touch God. And we're able then to say kind words in the Spirit and encourage one another. Then we are speaking about the things of God, and the Holy Spirit will enable us. Now, He speaks to us, the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. So again, brothers and sisters, do spend time in the Word of God, and when the Holy Spirit reminds us about the Word of God, let us not quench Him, let us not grieve Him, let us learn to listen, let us learn to obey, so that He can increase in us. And may we use our spirit to be able to encourage one another, and not with our flesh and our physical senses. Now, another thing that we have to know in John here, that it tells us, I want us to read John chapter 16, verse 33. It's just right before John chapter 17, all right? If you have found it, and you can read it for us, Lucas. John chapter 16, verse 33. If you can stand up and read loud, John chapter 16, verse 33. Oh, okay. Okay.
These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world.
That's right. Thank you. Is that Jessica?
Sam.
Oh, Sam. Okay. Sorry, I can't see. All right, Sandy, thank you. Know the victor. Here, right before John chapter 17, the Lord says, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. So we have to know the victor, because He already overcome the world. We know Him not only as Jesus, our Savior. We not only know Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Christ the head and the church, His body, know one another. And not only know Him through His Word, and not only obey the Holy Spirit when He reminds us of His Word, but we have to know Him as the victor. He has overcome the world. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We know that song as well, right? Wonderful song. It's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We have to know the victor, because He has overcome the world. And we know Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. And when we, let's read that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. All right, who has found it and read for us? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. All right, Ryan, did you find Ephesians 6, 10, if you can read for us?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So know the victor. He has already won, brothers and sisters. We put on his armor, and we are strong, not in ourselves, not according to our flesh, but in the power of his might. In the power of his might. All right? And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Now, I want to share this acronym with you that hopefully will help you remember. TAP. T-A-P. TAP. T. Thanksgiving sweetens the enjoyment of him and his love. He has already overcome the world, brothers and sisters. So give him thanksgiving for it. And when we learn how to be thankful, it will really help us to enjoy that even more. So T, thanksgiving sweetens the enjoyment for TAP. A, appreciation. We're thankful. We appreciate him and his love. It renews our consecration. I know you love your parents. I know you love the Lord. But you know, sometimes our love grows cold. And perhaps sometimes it gets stale. But when we show appreciation for our parents for what they do, we show appreciation for our brothers and sisters for what they do, and we show appreciation to God at his table for what he has done for us, it renews our love for him. It renews our consecration to him. So our appreciation renews our consecration. And praise. Praise brings victory. When we praise God, he will give us the victory. It's a long story. We won't read to it, but you can jot it down, read it for yourself. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the people learn to praise God, God gave them the victory. When the enemy surrounds us like a horde, and we're overwhelmed because there's so much coming at us, and we become afraid, the Lord says, you praise me, and I will give you the victory. And so when we praise God, he will grant us the victory. And he is the victor. We can be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. So praise brings victory. TAP. T-A-P. But I-K-Y-K. What does that mean? Why are you looking at me or others? You know what it means. I-K-Y-K.
If you know, you know.
No, that's I-Y-K. Y-K. I know you know, right? I-K-Y-K. I thought you guys speak this language. I'm learning from Sam. Maybe I need to learn from someone else. Right? I-K-Y-K. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Annalise, what does Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 say?
I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
That's right. See, I know you know. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So TAP, not only are we thankful, are we appreciative, and we praise him, but we can TAP into him. And we can do all things through him who strengthens us, because he is the victor. So when we know the victor, and we know he is greater in us than he who is in the world, he will enable us in the power of his might to overcome and to strengthen us. And that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And one final thing about TAP. I think perhaps some of you may have seen this picture before with the Lord Jesus holding a big teddy bear, I think, in behind his arms. And then there's a little child holding a small teddy bear or something like that. I don't know if you've seen that illustration. And the Lord is tapping the child to give that over to him. But it depends on how we respond, brothers and sisters. If we're able to let go of whatever we're holding on to, sometimes it's an obstacle, sometimes it's a sin, or sometimes it's something that's not pleasing to the Lord. And he taps us. He says, John, will you let go of this? Chloe, will you give this up? Asaph, will you obey me? He taps us because he wants to give something to us. But it depends on how we respond, brothers and sisters. If we respond by letting go and letting God, he will give the victory to us. We are able to overcome. Or if we let go of what we're holding on to, he will give a greater measure of himself to us. So TAP is not only to help us to be thankful, to show appreciation, to give him praise, but when we TAP into him, he will give us the victory. by the strength that he strengthened us. But he's also tapping us to say, hey, I have something for you. I want to give you a greater measure of myself. Are we willing to let him increase? Are we willing to let go? Are we willing to forsake and receive him? So brothers and sisters, I hope this is something that will remind us and help us. Now when we speak about to know the Lord, and we mention about to know Jesus Christ, Jesus is to know him as our Savior. Christ is to know him not only as the Son of the living God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, but Christ as the head of the church. So it speaks about a union with him. Not only with him, but with one another, brothers and sisters. That's why we read the last verse in John chapter 17. I'll leave it to our brother Derek to share more about that. But it is speaking about a union not only with him, but with one another. So it's a union and a communion, brothers and sisters. So we really have to see, it's not only to know the head, but to also have fellowship with the head and fellowship with one another. Now I know that in the summertime, most of our worship places, whether in Mountain View, in San Bruno, in San Francisco, we have a baptism. Now I thank the Lord. I know that many of you are baptized recently in San Bruno. Praise the Lord for that. And you can bear that testimony for the Lord, of that union with the Lord. Wonderful. Thank the Lord for that. And we give thanks at his table, and we sing praises to him, and we partake of the bread and cup. Praise the Lord for that, for his table, to always remind us, to renew us about his love that he displays before us. But brothers and sisters, whether we speak about baptism, that's not the end. Or we pray at bread breaking, that's not the end. That's not the goal. The goal is not for Abigail, you're baptized now, praise the Lord. And Acacia, you prayed at the Lord's table, praise the Lord. Yes, we thank and praise the Lord. Your prayers, perhaps maybe short and simple, encourages us. But that's not the end. That's only a process, brothers and sisters. That's only a channel that continues to enable us, that continues to empower us, that continues to renew us. So, if you're baptized, praise the Lord. And if you're yet to be baptized, and there is a baptism that's coming up in San Francisco, or perhaps even in Mountain View, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, would you enable me, strengthen me, that I would bear this testimony for you, that I would enter into this union with you. But brothers and sisters, remember, that's not the end. The goal is not for you to be baptized, but that is only a channel, a process, that you want to be into that union with the Lord, not only at that moment that you're baptizing for that testimony, but throughout your life, you say that, Lord, I want to live my life for you. Not only on this day, I'm dying with you, I'm buried with you, I'm risen together with you, but daily, that is my desire, to have that union with you, to have that communion with you, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So it's only a channel, brothers and sisters. But may the Lord enable us, strengthen us to be willing to bear that testimony for him. Now, I see an offering box in the back. This, again, brothers and sisters, though all of you are young, junior high school, some of you are in college, and some of you perhaps may be working. I point out the offering box not because of asking you to offer money. The Lord is rich and abundant. He will provide, and he does provide. But I point it out to you because, again, the goal is not the offering. The offering is only a process. It's a channel. Through a monetary offering, you show thankfulness to the Lord for all that he provides. You show appreciation, knowing that all you have is from him. And you praise him for it. And so you offer back what he has first given unto you. So, brothers and sisters, when we learn to offer ourselves, if we say a money offering, that's only the beginning. That is only the beginning. If we cannot part with the things that are without, it would be that much more difficult for us to offer ourselves to the Lord. So, when we speak about baptism, that's not the end. When we speak about praying or serving, that's not the end. That's only a channel, a process. Even when we speak about offering, the monetary offering is not the end. It's only a channel for you to show your thankfulness, your appreciation, your praise to the Lord. And it's also a channel for Him to give you more of Himself, to enlarge your capacity, to give you a greater measure of blessing, and namely Himself. So brothers and sisters, remember that. If we cannot learn to first give the things that are without, we cannot give the things that are within, our heart, ourselves. If you think giving some of our time to the Lord, 1% is difficult. If we learn to first give 10% of our wages, now that's a law, so in the Old Testament. So if you did that, we're only doing what we ought to as a law, and the Lord is not after that. But if we find it difficult to give 1% of our day and 10% of our earnings, imagine how hard it is for us to give ourselves to the Lord when we cannot even part with the things that are without. And the Lord is not after those outward things, but He's after us. And so, you know the story. When the widow gave the 2 copper coins, the 2 mites, those 2 pennies, oh, the sweetness of that sound that dropped into the box was loudly heard from heaven. And the Lord saw her. The Lord on the mountain saw her and praised her for it. And so, it's not the things that are without, but it's the things that are within. What are we willing to let go to give the Lord back what is worthy, what He is worthy of? So brothers and sisters, may we learn to first give outwardly our time, our effort, our energy, our strength, our finances, all of those things that are without. Then the Lord will begin to give a greater measure of Himself to us, and we will learn to give more what is internal, our heart, our being, our life to Him. Now, I'd like to also share with you, since I mentioned about the process, you know, when we grow up, part of the process of walking when we see children is they fall. That's unavoidable. And did I hear someone laugh? No. Well, it's unavoidable, right? When you're a child, you walk and you're wobbly, you fall. It's unavoidable. But if when we grow older and we fall, then we learn how to fall. Like I suppose as an athlete, if you're going to fall, you're probably better off learning how to fall so you don't break something. So we fall when we're learning something, and then we learn how to fall. But the best thing is to avoid it so that we won't fall, brothers and sisters. So I ask you 3 questions. Sometimes we may fall into temptation, and sometimes we may fall to sin, and sometimes we learn how to fall, not in a good sense, but nevertheless, we do. But the best thing is to avoid it. And how do we avoid it? So I'm going to ask you 3 questions. You can answer for yourself. I won't have you stand up and say it. You answer for yourself, and hopefully this will help us not only not to fall, not only will it help us to avoid, learn how to fall, but it will help us to avoid falling. The first question, where are you? Where are you? You know, again, I just used the illustration of being in bed. Oh, it's so hard to get up. Oh, let me enjoy my downtime, my alone time, before I go to bed and spend time on my phone. Where are you when you fall to those temptations? And then, perhaps you fall into sin because of that. Where are you? What situation are you in? Where are you? And then, the second question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is it that you're doing when you cannot overcome? You are pushing the snooze button. You want to sleep a few more minutes. You want to catch up on the sports of the day. You want to catch up on the news of the day. You want to just have some alone time. Those are wonderful things, great things. But what are you doing? And the third thing is, very important, brothers and sisters, especially for your age, who are you with? Who are you with? A brother shared about pressure. He has pressure at work. His boss wants him to do certain things. It requires, demands a lot of him, all of him. And you have a lot of pressure in school. Who are you with? You're away this week with your brothers and sisters. You don't have your devices with you, perhaps. You spend wonderful quality time with the Lord. But we go back on Monday night. You go back to school, some of you, on Tuesday. And it's the summertime for some of you. Where are you? What are you doing? And who are you with? With your friends. If they're not brothers and sisters, it will be that much more difficult. But when you're together, you can encourage one another. But when you're with unbelieving friends, do you influence them, or do they impact you? Are you influencing them, or are they influencing you? In the way you look, in the way you dress, in the way you act, in the way you speak. Who are you with? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. We're running short on time, but I'll still have you read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I won't call names. You find it, you read it. Perhaps you can all read it. If I call the name, perhaps you think I'm pinpointing you out. But no, you find 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and you read it out loud.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
That's right. Bad company corrupts good character. So, brothers and sisters, who are you with? I ask you those three questions. And I'll end with this. Two lies and two lives. You get it? Two lies and two lives. The first lie. The first lie from the enemy. Once is okay. One time won't hurt. I don't know if you have ever had that experience, or that temptation, or that pressure. Try it. One time won't hurt. Right? That's the first lie. The second lie. Oh, John, now that you've sinned, you're no good. Your life is ruined. God cannot use you. That's the second lie. Brothers and sisters, do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. One time will hurt you. It will hurt the Father. And perhaps that one time you will suffer severely, a great consequence. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Do not fall for the second lie. Now that you've sinned, now that you've tried it, you're no good. You're useless to God. God cannot use you. Do not fall for that second lie. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The two lies. Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Alright, can someone read that for me? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Richard, can you read that? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10.
Christ, he loved this world, has deserted me, and has gone to Thessalonica.
That's right.
Has gone to Galatia. And
yeah.
And has to Galatia.
This brother, Demas, he loved the Lord. He served with Paul. But here, at the end of Paul's life, he writes 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 about this brother Demas. He has forsaken him for the love of the present world. We're in this world, brothers and sisters. We're not of the world. God loves the world. He gave us His Son. But be careful of the love of the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father, the love for the Father is not in us. And the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the prideful lust of life, which will pass away. So, Demas, perhaps he loved the world one time. And perhaps not only one time, but he fell for the second lie. Well, now that you already love the world, continue loving the world. You cannot serve God. You're no good to God. Why might as well continue to enjoy the pleasure of sin, enjoy the world, and go on sinning. Go on loving the world. Brothers and sisters, perhaps we might fall, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. We come back to Him. Do not fall for the second lie and continue loving the world and for the sake of the love of the world to forsake the Lord. So may that be a reminder and encouragement to us. The second lie, Peter, we are familiar with this. Gospel according to John chapter 21, verse 15. Gospel according to John chapter 21, verse 15. Bethany, would you read that for us? Stand up and read loud.
So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, Tend my lambs.
Do you love me more than these? Demas sadly forsook the Lord for the love of the present world. Now, Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord restored him. And here, the Lord speaks to him personally and directly. And he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What are these things? I don't know what it is to you, brothers and sisters. What it is for me and what it is for you are different. But the Lord is asking me and asking you the same question. He's asking Peter the same question. And today He asks you and me the same question. Do you love me more than these? Our brother listed 9 items for us. Wealth. Possession. Comfort. Compliments. What else? You took notes, right?
Popularity,
okay. What else?
Being beautiful.
You are, by the way, you are beautiful. What else?
Palaces.
What?
Palaces.
Palaces, that's right. Palaces, right. Okay, wonderful. Well, I just remember 9 items. So, all those things the Lord is asking. Do you love me more than these? Those 9 items for John? Plenty more for me, a lot for Peter, and for you. Whatever the Lord is asking you, do you love me more than these? And may we answer the Lord in a positive way. So I'll end with this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. All right, Benson, can you read that for us? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.
Well, being that this is the youth conference, and you are youths, right? Not all of you get that reference, but let that not be despised because of your young age, but be an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your lives, not only to each other, to other brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters, and hopefully we can encourage you, and you in your actions, in your speech and conduct will certainly encourage us, perhaps much more. And may you be an encouragement to your friends and family that have yet to know the Lord, so that they may also know Jesus through you, that you may be a channel of blessing to them, to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and to your brothers and sisters to know more of Him as the Christ, the church, Christ the head, and the church His body, so that we can all enter into His fullness, into those who know Him as their Savior, and into those who know Him as their Lord. So on my time here, let us bow for a word of prayer, brothers and sisters. Lord, we want to commit these words back unto you. They are incomplete and imperfect, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak, that He will speak further unto us. He will speak fully unto us. He will speak directly to us. And He will speak personally to us. And we will commit these words to you for the keeping, knowing that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against that day. So we commit all these young brothers and sisters to you, Lord, for the keeping. Commit their hearts to you. Do open their ears to hear, open their eyes to see, and open the hearts to receive all that you desire to deposit unto them. And may they be fruitful for you unto your glory. We give thanks and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.